Let's go to Washington, D.C., Nationals Park, and bring in our beat writer who covers the Giants for the Bay Area newspaper group, Alex Pavlovich. Alex, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Mario. How are you?
Well, we're doing fine. Weather report, first of all, on this road trip. I will ask you after you give us the report in Washington what you did for 6 hours in Chicago waiting that one out. But go ahead. How's the weather today?
It's the same thing as yesterday, I think. Just a little bit of drizzling off and on. And it's supposed to maybe rain later, but it doesn't look too bad. So I think they'll get it in.
Humid day for Tim Lincecum. You never like to hear that if it is.
Yeah, but not as bad as it could be. I think, you know, given what you usually see here in August, it could have been a lot worse. It is going to be humid, but not a, you know, he caught a little bit of a break.
All right. Did you catch a break on Tuesday night? That night, I mean, I followed your tweets. Thank goodness I couldn't work that night. I was at a friend's birthday party, so I didn't have to sit through it. But what did you do, my goodness, for that? And that, let me tell you, Wrigley Field is no picnic. That's a little spot to work in.
Yeah, you know, I think we were on Twitter most of the time and just kind of, I don't know, I talked to a lot of fans and we were doing our best. Sorry, I'm walking upstairs, so a little winded, but we were doing our best to kind of keep people updated and let them know what was going on, and nobody really knew, so couldn't really do much but stand around and wait.
Yeah, well, 6 hours, I guess, and coming back on Thursday, still a rain delay there. And all right, so the team, 3-1 on the road trip. Joe Panik goes wild last night. He's having a great trip. Now, I talked about it a couple of weeks ago. You and I talked about it, moving Panik up in the order, moving Pence back, and all of a sudden now there seems to be a little groundswell around that. Can that actually happen?
Yeah, it could. I think we might eventually, but, you know, it's still Joe has still only played 40 games, and I think it's, you know, he's hit really well in August, but I think sometimes you don't want to mess with that, and you don't want to, you know, put a guy up there and put pressure on him and say you have to do this, you have to do that. I think he's doing great, and the spot is in, and Hunter's having a great year too, so I don't see a reason to really mess with it. I think if they were scoring one run every night, then maybe you mix it up, but the last week or so, I think they've been okay, and Panik, it's not like he's hitting eight, so I think he's doing okay where he is. It's something worth talking about, and certainly he fits that profile. But right now, I think it's worth keeping it the way it is.
All right, the stat guys love Pence at the top of the lineup, and believe me, I know they do, and I know that's a big part of why he's up there. But not eventually, you like to see what happened last night, and that's someone in the middle of the order hitting a three-run homer. And boy, didn't that turn the game around?
Yeah, it absolutely did. But, I mean, it was Panik who hit it, not Pence. So
yeah, but what number was he hitting? Where was he hitting in the lineup?
He was hitting six.
All right, so that's my point. Give me a three-run homer out of the five or six guy, and now we're talking.
Yeah, that's what you had. So I think, you know, there have been studies. I know people disagree with this, and I've talked to a lot of people on Twitter the last couple of days who make the same point you do, that they want to see Panik hitting second. But there have been a lot of studies that show your best hitter should actually hit second and not third or fourth. So I think Hunter, if he's not their best, is one of their top two hitters. And I think you want him getting as many as bats as he can. And I do think when they're going right, that the Pagan-Pence combo at the top is pretty dangerous, just because both those guys, it's not just getting on base, it's extra base power at times, and especially with Pence. So I don't know that there's a need to make a move right now. I know it makes a lot of sense with Panik, but unless they really have an issue driving in Posey and Sandoval and guys like that, I don't think you have to do anything.
Okay. All right. No, well said, and we'll see how it plays out. Alex Pavlovich with us. Last night coming around third base, Pagan did a sort of the two-step coming around third. Then, of course, Greschner looking at him in the dugout. You were there last night. What's up with Angel Pagan?
It's a tight left calf, so he just cramped up a little bit. And ordinarily, you would say that's something that happens in human weather and something that guys have dealt with. But he did come out of the game a couple nights before, and obviously this is a guy who has a bit of a history of injuries not looking awful at first and then missing some time. So maybe you take it a little bit more seriously than you would with other guys. But I do think what they told us last night, it seemed like it wasn't too bad.
All right, we'll see if he's out there today. I was very disappointed that the Giants didn't sign Castillo, that he went to the Red Sox for $70 million, 7 years, whatever it is. I Alex, I tell you, they need one of these players who can turn a team around. I was disappointed they didn't get him. I guess they're in it to the end, but boy, we're talking the Giants. Can't they get these guys?
Yeah, but we're also talking the Red Sox. So it's, you know, it's not like they lost to the Astros. They got outbid by the Red Sox. I think a lot of fans are upset, but they have to realize that the Giants were, by all accounts, one of the last two or three teams on Jose Abreu and one of the last two or three teams on this guy. So they're making an effort. I think there's probably a dollar figure they don't want to go above, and part of that has to do with the fact that they want to re-sign Pablo Sandoval. So it does at some point become a budget issue, and the other side of that is you say, well, should they have a budget? And people, that's fair to say because they sell out every night. But like it or not, this team has a budget. They have a number they're not going to go above. And if you start talking $12, $13 million a year for a guy you've never really seen, it becomes a little bit more difficult when you're still thinking about all the holes you have to fill for next year.
Well, I know that story and that argument, but you can still fill holes, but maybe you don't fill every one of them with a big-time player. Maybe you get Castillo, and I'm just saying, maybe you don't get Sandoval, or maybe Sandoval, you know, you get him and Castillo, then you bring in another left fielder who's maybe, or another starting pitcher who maybe, you know, not $12 million a year. But I don't know. I was disappointed. I think the electricity that a player like Castillo brings, we've seen it with Abreu and Puig and Cespedes. These players that come from Cuba are ready to play in the big leagues, even though he's 27. So, personally, I was disappointed. I will tell you that. All right. Bruce.
I'll just say one more thing on that. I think at some point there's going to be a tipping point, and you don't want to be spending $80, $90 million just because Puig was good and Abreu was good and Cespedes was good. I think at some point it's going to get out of whack, and you don't know if it's this guy, you don't know if it's the next guy. So you have to make your evaluation on him as a player. And you can't just say Puig is dominating the National League and Abreu is dominating the American League, so let's go get one of these guys. I think you have to look at every player individually and decide, is this guy going to be better for us than Pablo Sandoval? And they obviously didn't think he would.
No, I would put him in center and put Pagan in left, and then I'd have him as a backup for Crawford if things don't get better. But that's me. That's why I do the show. All right, one last thought for you, and that is Petit. I watched Gutierrez last night, and of course FP was on with us earlier, and he's throwing curveballs with an 8-run lead, and he's taking 45 seconds. He was driving FP crazy. Petit has been so good coming in very short relief for the Giants. Why not put him in the mix and move Gutierrez back to where Petit is?
Well, I think Petit, what he does is so incredibly valuable. And it's, you know, you look at a day like today, Lindstrom has a tough challenge today. Obviously, it's going to be humid. It's going to be maybe raining. Maybe you get this game delayed for a couple hours. And Petit is the guy who they absolutely trust to come in. And, I mean, he can go up to five or six innings if he has to, just because of how good he's been out of the bullpen. I think he's also shown that for whatever reason, he can't take that into starts. And when they try to run him out there every 5 days, it's just not the same. I mean, the numbers are incredibly different. So he's really good in the spot he's in right now. And you know, you're talking about a situation where it's maybe switching the sixth inning guy with the long reliever, but I don't think that ultimately makes much of a difference. I don't think Gutierrez is really hurt this year. It's in the surprise. And Steve, in the job he has, his ability to kind of fill in and come in there, pitch two innings, pitch four innings, you know, make a spot start, I think that's incredibly valuable. He's a guy who really has gone underrated by Giants fans. He's had a really nice couple years here. And I don't, you know, like with everything else, I think if it's working, you don't want to change it up.
All right. Alex Pavlovich here with us. Has this ball club turned the corner, at least for the stretch run? Do you see a little difference in them than you saw maybe 3 weeks ago?
They're playing better baseball. You know, that's the most important thing. They just weren't playing very good baseball for 2 months. And it was a lot of facets of the game. But I think just, you know, it comes down to something pretty simple. They're just, the lineup's better and they're having better nights. And a lot of that has to do with some of the kids. Certainly Joe Panic's been a huge part of that. A lot of that has to do with guys who were kind of not living up to expectations. They are now. So I think it does make everything else look a little bit rosier when you're going out there. I mean, they're not going to score 10 again, probably, because they're facing a really good team. But you have the ability every night to go out there and score 4 or 5. And there was about a month there where I think every night if they scored 2, you were pretty surprised. So right now they're hitting much better. They feel more confident at the plate. And I think, you know, that's why you're seeing some of these results.
All right. Brandon Crawford, an error last night, and they had a stat this morning. He's hitting lowest against right-handed pitching of any regular in Major League Baseball, at least in the National League. What's up with Brandon Crawford? Is this thing mushrooming? Can he get out of this thing?
You know, I'm not sure. I was going to try to talk to him this weekend because it does seem like it's, you know, I don't know if he's taking some of the at-bats into the field or if it's the other way around, but it is kind of becoming more of an issue than it has been in the past. I think in the past you could always say that even if the average was at 245 or 248 or wherever he usually ended up at the end of the year, he was going to give you some of the best shortstop defense in the National League. And he still, for the most part, has been pretty good this year. But the errors, a lot of them are on plays you should make. So I don't know if it's a guy wearing down or if it's just a bad stretch or maybe it's a guy who's dealing with injuries and we don't know about it. I do know he's been banged up most of the year and has played through it. And really last year, too. I mean, this is a guy who is pretty much as tough as it gets out there. He's not going to ask for a day off. And maybe that's caught up to him a little bit. But I think it's definitely worth talking about today. And hopefully I have an answer for you tomorrow or the next time I talk to you.
All right. Well, we're gonna look forward to that. Jordan Zimmermann, Lincecum tomorrow. It is Vogelsong in Strasburg. The Giants have their hands full these next 2 days, I'd say.
Yeah, this is, you know, this team is as good as it gets in the National League. I think we were kind of waiting for somebody in the National League to make that move and try to break from the pack a little bit, and it looks like the Nationals are the team to do it. But, you know, the Giants last night went out and hammered them a little bit. So certainly a chance to make a statement either today or tomorrow. It's been a long time since they beat a good team, and they have a shot to do it.
Oh, good. Hey, I appreciate you coming on with us, and we're on early tomorrow, so we'll text you and see if you can jump on tomorrow morning. Alec, thank you.
All right. Well, luckily I'm 3 hours ahead, so.
Okay.
I don't have to wake up too early.
All right. Thank you very much. Thanks, Alex. All right.